The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
There we go. All right. Welcome to a Tuesday. It is a brand new week here on the Nicole Sandler Show. We had a false start, but we're back on track. Things get crazy around here these days. The weekend was nuts. It started Friday with weird news coming out of the Michael Cohen case when there was questions about who his third client was. Yes, Michael Cohen, an attorney, Donald Trump's personal attorney, private attorney, we learned had only three clients. And one of the big issues that came up in court yesterday was who his third client was. So, well, to sort of bring it all together, we're going to turn to late night television to help us out.
Pro tip for the president. When your lawyer needs a lawyer, you need a lawyer.
Michael Cohen, Trump's personal lawyer, was in court today desperately trying to keep his very small client list private. Michael Cohen has three known clients. One of them is Donald Trump, for whom he paid Stormy Daniels. Client number two is Elliot Broidy. Michael negotiated a $1.6 million payment to a Playboy model he had an affair with. Michael Cohen was forced to reveal the name of a mystery third client. And shockingly, that client turned out to be my pal, Sean Hannity.
Thank you.
This is crazy! Cohen only has two other clients, and all he does for them is pay off mistresses. Which raises the obvious question, who did Sean Hannity have sex with?
You know, right now, Sean Hannity's probably on the phone with his wife, like, hey, honey, it's so weird how I use the guy who pays off mistresses to get me out of that parking ticket.
But Hannity was tweeting furiously this afternoon. He wrote, I assume those conversations were confidential, but to be absolutely clear, they never involved any matter between me and a third party. What kind of legal advice does involve a third party? Unless maybe Sean Hannity was thinking about suing himself?
Once you know that Hannity has personal skin in the game, like with Cohen, it's fun to go back and look at everything he said about the FBI raid, because now we can see that Hannity wasn't just mad, he was scared.
Mueller's witch hunt investigation is now a runaway train careening off the track, spinning out of control. If you voted for Donald Trump, you better get buckled up because this is going to be a rough ride.
You know, now that we know he was working with Cohen, that looks less like a news show and more like a guy really stressed giving himself a pep talk. It's just like, come on, we got to get buckled up. This is going to be a rough ride. Hoo-ha! Ah!
And this is a Fox News alert. President Trump's longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is my attorney, and I defended him right here on this program.
Uh-huh.
Can anybody say conflict of interest?
Uh-huh.
A huge conflict of interest Fox News has largely ignored. To put it another way, Sean Hannity should be fired, like yesterday. All right, also tonight, Hillary Clinton killed Kennedy.
Yeah, a little fun with digital audio there. That for courtesy of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. The whole thing made no sense at first. As I'm watching the news yesterday and the news breaks what's his name? Sean Hannity is the mystery third client of Michael Cohen.
until I thought about it some more. The reason they had to give out the name of the third client was because what was being discussed in this hearing yesterday was how they're going to make sure that nothing that should fall under attorney-client privilege falls into the hand of the prosecutors, that the lawyers don't see anything that they shouldn't see. Well, in order to know who is afforded attorney-client privilege, they need to know who the clients are. And so finally, Michael Cohen's attorneys fessed up and said, well, the third client is Sean Hannity. Now, Sean Hannity, for his part, says he wasn't my lawyer. I never paid him. I never had a formal agreement with him. I may have asked him a couple of questions, really about real estate. Really? Michael Cohen is not a real estate attorney. He's a fixer. Even in his own words, he's like a Donald Trump's Ray Donovan. It is it is just nuts. But so is life these days, right? I have a hard time figuring out which end is up anymore. We'll save that for Gotta Laugh. He'll be along in a few minutes. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a time out now. We'll do What's News, and we'll come back with Laffy. I know she's got a lot in her tweet spot. We've got a lot to talk about, too. So we'll do that and get back to Michael Cohen and all the other news of the day in Laffy's tweet spot next. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It was a big day in federal court in Lower Manhattan on Monday as Donald Trump's longtime attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, was in court challenging the FBI's seizure of Cohen's documents he and the president claim are protected by attorney-client privilege. Cohen had asked the judge for a temporary restraining order to stop federal prosecutors from viewing the information until an independent third party or special master be allowed to sort out what is protected. Trump had a new attorney in the case, Joanna Hendon, who filed a letter Sunday night asking the judge to give the materials back to Cohen's team to sort through what is protected and what isn't. U.S. District Court Judge Kimball Wood denied the requests, ruling that prosecutors will get first access to the information, followed by Cohen's defense team. She hasn't yet decided whether she'll appoint a special master. On Friday, Judge Wood asked Cohen's attorneys how they could argue that thousands of seized documents could be privileged while they refused to provide a list of Cohen's clients to the court. On Monday, Cohen's lawyers identified his three clients, the president, Republican fundraiser Elliot Broidy, and Fox host Sean Hannity. MSNBC's Chris Hayes did a great job of explaining it all.
They began with Cohen attempting to defy a federal judge's order to reveal the names of his legal clients. There are not many, I should note. Now, Cohen is claiming the raids last week violated attorney-client privilege, threatening his clients' rights. But in a letter to the court this morning, Cohen's lawyers agreed only to disclose who two of his grand total of three clients are. That would be a man by the name of Donald Trump, who is president of these United States, and a man by the name of Elliot Broidy, who is a Republican fundraiser who you probably hadn't heard about until, well, he resigned from the RNC last week after he was revealed to have paid $1.6 million in hush money through Michael Cohen again, that guy, to a former Playboy he had impregnated, the he being there, Broidy, not Cohen. It gets confusing. Now, Cohen refused to name client number three, one of his lawyers telling the court the client is a, quote, publicly prominent individual, and he didn't want the name released to the public, piquing, of course, everyone's curiosity. The judge, however, was not having it, forcing Cohen's team to fess up. And client number three was revealed to be, drumroll please, none other than Trump TV host Sean Hannity, who railed against the Cohen raids last week without disclosing his own connection.
On his radio show Monday afternoon, Hannity denied that such a relationship ever existed.
So I've known Michael a long, long time. And let me be very clear to the media. Michael never represented me in any matter. I never retained him in the traditional sense as retaining a lawyer. I never received an invoice from Michael. I never paid legal fees to Michael. But I have occasionally had brief discussions with him about legal questions about which I wanted his input and perspective. And I assume that those conversations were attorney-client confidential. And the other thing I will need to point out to the media that is apparently going insane over this, not one of any issue I ever dealt with Michael Cohen on ever involved a matter between me and any third party.
Adding to the circus-like atmosphere of the proceedings was the porn star Stormy Daniels, who stopped in front of microphones after the hearing.
For years, Mr. Cohen has acted like he is above the law. He has considered himself and openly referred to himself as Mr. Trump's fixer. He has played by a different set of rules, or should we say no rules at all. My attorney and I are committed to making sure that everyone finds out the truth and the facts of what happened, and I give my word that we will not rest until that happens.
In other news, the president did a 180 on new Russia sanctions in reaction to the Syrian chemical attack. On Sunday, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley announced that new sanctions were coming.
You will see that Russian sanctions will be coming down. Secretary Mnuchin will be announcing those on Monday if he hasn't already. I think everyone is going to feel it at this point. I think everyone knows that we sent a strong message, and our hope is that they listen to it.
But not 24 hours later, the president reversed what his UN ambassador had said. The Washington Post was the first to report, quote, Trump conferred with his national security advisors later Sunday and told them he was upset the sanctions were being officially rolled out because he was not yet comfortable executing them. Further, we learned today the president still wants to meet with Putin. Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters, quote, the president would still like to sit down with him, and he feels like it's better for the world if they have a good relationship.
The Government Accountability Office found that Scott Pruitt, the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, broke the law by spending $43,000 to install a soundproof phone booth in his office. He violated the General Government Appropriations Act by spending more than $5,000 on the phone booth without notifying Congress. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, now heard Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, she wasn't here last week, but she is back. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we mine her Twitter feed for the latest news and find out what's going on. So let's get Laffy on the line. Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the new puppy hotline.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Press 1 if you think whining puppies that wake us up in the middle of the night are a thing of the past, because our Trump nightmares wake us up first. Press 2 if you think training a new puppy is exponentially easier than trying to train Trump away from using his Twitter binky every time he feels a new wave of desperation.
Without a doubt.
Press 3 if you think new puppies whining every time they need to go out to poop is nothing compared to the whining and pooping on all of us that Trump subjects us to daily.
The button's
kind of... Have a nice day. Yeah, the button's kind of anemic. Oh God.
So the
help
puppy...
Me, help me.
The puppy whines when he needs to go out? That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good about it. But we had one accident, and that's not bad. We've had him for, what, 3 or 4 days now?
Uh-huh.
He's good. If he has to go indoors and we're not around, he goes right to the wee wee pad.
Wow.
And I'm teaching him to ring a bell at the door whenever he has to go out. And so he hasn't learned to ring it on the way out, but when he comes in, he hits it with his nose intentionally.
Aww.
I'm not sure why he thinks it's good to ring it after the fact, but I'm trying to do it so that I can hear him when I'm across the house, because if he doesn't bark at the door, then I won't know,
uh-huh,
he has to go out.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, they actually sell these things. I made my own, but they actually sell these strings of jingle bells just for that purpose.
Wow. Yeah, Jackson doesn't do that. Jackson will sit at the door. He'll just sit there until then when you go over there, then he'll start scratching on it. Let me out.
How old is he now?
Jackson's got to be close to five. We got him almost 5 years ago.
Oh, my God. I told somebody it's been like over a year. I didn't realize it had been
Yeah.
five.
Do you believe that? It's been...
No.
You know what? No, it's been almost 4 years. He was almost a year old when we got him. So it's been about 4 years since we got him. Jackson was a rescue, came from the pound. They told us he was 6 months old. He was probably closer to almost a year. So, and I think we got him in the middle of May.
Aww, so, he's so cute.
Yeah, he's...
Well, it seems it worked. My little plan, Hamilton is asleep.
Hamilton.
I fed him right when you went on the air.
Uh-huh.
And I did everything I could to keep him busy and crazy so that he would poop out during the show. So let's hope this holds for the next hour.
Not so. Poop out, not as
not
in poop, but
right.
Crash, take a nap.
Yeah, crash. Crash is good.
He's just a little baby.
Oh boy, is he a little baby, but he's a sweet little baby.
Do you want to talk about what you told me last night?
Without mentioning a name.
Okay. So Hamilton is a Labradoodle, right?
Yeah.
So you opted for the actual to go to a breeder, a reputable breeder, rather than a rescue
right.
dog. Why?
Well, I tried looking at all the rescues. We needed a hypoallergenic dog because Mr. Laffy has really, allergies to the point where he goes to bed. He feels like he has the flu. So we couldn't get a dog unless it was hypoallergenic. And we also wanted a smaller dog because neither of us can pick up a big dog anymore, because there are times where you have to pick up a huge dog and put him in the car if he's sick.
Yep, yep.
And so we needed a small dog. We wanted a male and we wanted a puppy. Okay, it was bad enough the last three, but finding a doodle at a rescue that was the right size was impossible. I scoured for months. And I also, while I was doing that, I was checking out different breeders. And I finally landed on one in Sacramento after months and months of doing all this research into rescues and into breeders. We finally found, nothing. So we had to go all the way up to Sacramento to find what we wanted. And so I have a friend who is totally into rescues. Her work involves, I think, helping rescues or finding homes or something. And we were actual off Twitter friends. And when she found out I bought a dog, she dumped me as a friend.
That's so sad. I mean,
it made me really sad.
And I understand why. I mean, I can get somebody being passionate about the cause. Look, there are lots of dogs, and I'm, I'm a complete rescue person.
We have two rescue cats, and we got my father-in-law a rescue dog. So am I.
Uh huh.
Yeah, totally.
But
we had our specific requirements that we sort of had to do. So.
That's too bad. Well, hopefully she'll come around.
And after explaining, I did explain all that to her. I said, I tried. I went to all the rescues that I could find. I scoured the internet. But our needs were so specific. I mean, our doctor was telling my husband not to get a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad his allergies are. And so we said, well, we're going to get one that, it's hypoallergenic. He said, okay, well, you could probably deal with that then. But that's how bad it gets. So, but she just wouldn't understand. And it, to me, that sort of smacks of people. It's sort of like the, this isn't a perfect parallel, obviously, but people who believe in something political, like abortion and anti-abortion,
mm-hmm.
where if somebody doesn't believe what you believe, you have to smack them down and humiliate them. And I don't believe in that.
No, nor do I. Oh, that's a shame. Hopefully she'll come around because this is somebody who was a real friend of yours.
Yeah, a real friend. And it didn't make sense to me. But all right. Somebody, Trumantown is asking, what's a rescue dog? That's where you adopt a dog that has been abandoned by
somebody, the pound,
or whatever.
From the pound or from a rescue organization who takes
right.
There are a lot of organizations that will take dogs out of shelters that euthanize, that put them down after so long if they're not adopted. So there are a lot of animals that need homes.
Right. And what upset me was that she basically, it didn't word it quite as harshly as this, but almost. Okay, you just killed a dog. Every time you buy a dog, one dies.
Well, that's not true, because Hamilton would have been born regardless.
Exactly. And Hamilton has got a wonderful home that he needs, and we need him. So, you know, and I totally, believe me, I'm very sympathetic, obviously. If I looked at rescues first, I'm very sympathetic to saving a dog's life. But unfortunately, in this particular case, we couldn't do that. We did it, like I said, with other animals, our other pets, and my father-in-law's dog. So I done what I could, right?
Yep. You did. Well, much love with Hamilton to you. You know, it's like having a new baby in the house, though. It is exhausting, right?
Yes. I haven't slept in 5 nights. I'm exhausted. We picked him up on Friday night in Sacramento, drove home with him, an 8-hour drive back up with him on my lap. He only cries once a night, which isn't bad at all. But once I wake up, I'm up. And so I'm sleepless in Seattle here, so sorry if I'm a little fuzzy today.
Okay, well, I have some good news to share.
Oh, good. I know what it is, right?
You do, but I'll tell everyone else. So I had my latest CAT scan last week. I you know, for those who are fairly new to the show, if you weren't aware, a couple of years ago, well, it's a year and a half ago now, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. And luckily we caught it early. Because we caught it so early, it was stage one. I had two tumors in, one in the lower lobe of my left lung and one in the upper lobe of my left lung. They were two unrelated tumors, two separate and distinct instances of lung cancer. They removed the lower lobe of my lung and took a chunk out of the upper lobe where the upper tumor was, for the first year I would go in every 3 months for a scan, and then they backed it off to 4 months. Now it's every 6 months, and so I had my latest scan last week and went into the doctor this morning, and I am still cancer free.
Yay! So
that's
that's
good,
like,
news.
The best news ever.
It is. You know, last night we were watching the news, the nightly news, and there was a story about new research, new immunotherapy.
Yes, I saw that. What did you find out?
For lung cancer. Well, it doesn't apply to me because right now I'm cancer free. So, but they told the story of a woman who was stage four, and usually you're stage four. That's, you know, they told her she had like 5 months to live. And now it's 5 years later with this immunotherapy drug. And I turned to David and I said, yeah, and how much does it cost? And sure enough, later on in the story, they said it costs about $100,000. You know, it depends what your insurance covers. And insurance is just such, you know, that's the thing. Luckily, we still have Obamacare for now, and it is covering the scans, but thank God I have that, because this stuff gets very expensive. I saw a tweet. We're going to get to a tweet spot in a second. I saw that Cindy McCain had tweeted out, "My husband, Senator John McCain, is doing well after his surgery, looking forward to getting back to Hidden Valley." And somebody named John Graziano retweeted that with the comment, "When he gets home, maybe you can ask him to share his free government-run health care with the rest of us whose homes don't have names."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's great news, and I'm very lucky that I still have insurance. I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wasn't worried about what's going to happen next year.
Of course.
And the year
after.
And
if we had, as someone, Speedbird said, in chat, but I was thinking the same thing. So we thought the same thought at the same time, Speedbird 9, if we had single payer, you wouldn't have such an issue, would you?
No, not at all. We also wouldn't have the issues we have with the VA. Think about that. All the problems with the VA, it wouldn't be an issue, because we'd have single payer. Everyone would be covered.
Right. That's a really good point. I don't think I've ever heard anybody bring that up before. You're right.
Yep. Every once in a while, I get something right.
Anywho, let's go. I've got so many tweets from yesterday, and I have a few from today, so we better get to it.
All right, let's get to it. Oops, that's the wrong one. I'm hitting wrong buttons left and right today. Let's do this one. There we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, Okay, so Twitters were buzzing yesterday. Oh, do you want to start
yesterday
with
yesterday? Was insane, but I'll give you, I have a few for today, not a billion for today, but they're interesting. They're kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. In businessinsider.com, they tweeted out, Israeli intelligence reportedly says Trump's Syria strike failed and didn't take out much of anything. The Syrian raid was so perfectly carried out with such precision, Trump said. Mission accomplished, Trump said. But here's what they said in the article. Israeli intelligence officials have concluded that the U.S., U.K., and France's missile strikes on Syria's suspected chemical weapon sites were a failure. Multiple Israeli government and military sources criticized the strike's effectiveness in hurting Syria's ability to conduct chemical attacks. These officials also criticized Trump's talking about the strikes beforehand. The U.S. and allies' strikes on Syria likely didn't change anything on the battlefield, and it's hard to know how much of the chemical weapons stockpile was hit. And finally, the statement of mission accomplished and the assertion that Assad's ability to use chemical weapons has been fatally hit has no basis.
Wow.
And Randy Weingarten retweeted that and said, will Trump now call Israel intelligence fake news?
Oh, good question.
Uh-huh. BB ain't going to like that. So, yeah, BB and Trump will somehow have to attack the news sources that BB probably stands by and admit it was a failure. Oh, they'll never admit it was a failure. But it was a failure. In a lot of ways, in many ways. They said if the only reason to do it was just to retaliate, you know, to show that you can retaliate, then yes, then it was a complete success. But that was the only thing that they did.
Right. Well, it was more of a success than the one he did last year where he, you know, he put a few holes in a runway on an airfield that was back in operation the same day.
Yeah. That was really effective.
Right.
Okay, here's a fun one. I bet you the chat room will like this one. Glenn Beck appears to be selling off his assets as his media enterprise downsizes, latest of which being his private jet, currently listed on a site that sells used aircraft.
Oh, God.
Oh, they're going down hard, the ex-Foxers, aren't they? The cluster Foxers. What's this one? Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star, who is one of my all-time favorites. I just love his reporting. He said, another enthusiasm data point. Democrats in some heavily conservative Texas districts are raising far more money than the Republicans. In one GOP district near Austin, a Democratic candidate has raised 200 times what the Democratic candidate did in 2016.
Wow.
So that's encouraging.
Yeah, I'm hearing really lots of good stuff about Beto O'Rourke, you know, who's running for the Senate against Ted Cruz. And he's doing real grassrootsy stuff, and he's going all over the state, going to counties where they've never seen a senatorial candidate, let alone a senator. And he's making some noise. Wouldn't that be, oh my God, how great would that be if he took out Ted Cruz?
I'm almost at a climax. Wait. No, but that would be amazing. Would just be amazing. Rogue White House senior advisor. Now, people call this a parody account. I don't think so. This is an account that hates Trump. I don't know if they're really in the White House. They have actually been prescient. So maybe they are in the White House. Maybe they really do know what they're talking about. But suffice it to say, they're at the very least entertaining and at the very most insightful. And they say, listen to all these shrill voices on the right scream about how the law is being twisted and things aren't fair. Weird how they never seem to care when it's a disenfranchised minority saying the same thing.
That's true.
Yep.
And there are tons of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's embarrassing. Now, this is about Nikki Haley and how Trump
threw her under the bus.
Yeah. Exactly. This is from Jeff Bennett, who I forgot who it is. He's NBC News. He said, why did Trump block additional Russia sanctions after Nikki Haley announced them? Larry Kudlow, I don't know how you say his name, Trump's top economic advisor, says Haley's momentary confusion is to blame.
Oh my God.
Steve Mnuchin in Treasury will tell you the same thing. They're in charge of that. So because she's a dumb broad, because she's just, you know, a confused woman. She got it wrong.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody tweeted, How can she not resign after this?
I saw that too. Was it John Dean who said that?
I don't remember. I don't remember who it was. It was somebody who I respect, because I remember taking note of it. How does she not resign after this? They put her out there. She goes to the UN and talks about new sanctions that are coming, because obviously she was told that. And right. then they go and throw her under the bus. This is what they do in this administration. It's whiplash inducing.
It's to be expected. And unfortunately, the idiots who said, oh, I'm going to work for Trump and I'm going to have it on my resume. Well, they're also going to have on their resume that they got duped and that they got embarrassed and they got humiliated and then they got dumped.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not so smart, doesn't have the best people, blah, blah, blah. Walter Schaub, who was the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, he said Sunday, Nikki Haley announces new Russia sanctions. Mm-hmm. Monday, Trump says there will be no sanctions. Aside from the national embarrassment, this chaos brings us back yet again to the possibility that his financial interests could be influencing policy.
Yeah, it's as obvious as, the nose on my face. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy, I mean, half the things he does, 99% of the things he does, if any other president had done them, there would be such hue and cry. There would be such outrage. Yet he gets away with all of this. It's
all
just mind-blowing.
Because of the stupid Republican Congress. That's the only reason he's getting away with all of this. They are aiding and abetting and enabling and cheering him on and or whispering under their breath to their Democratic counterparts. Well, you know, I think he's really bad and he really should go. And then they go on air and they'll say things like, well, I don't think he's going to fire Mueller, but well, why don't you tell him not to? I don't think we have to. I don't think he's going to fire Mueller.
Yeah, and both Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are saying that. So there, meanwhile, there's legislation that's out there that they won't bring up for a vote to protect
right.
Mueller, to make it so that if he does fire him, there's a review process in place where there's 10 days, they've got to prove that it was warranted, and basically it can be undone. And they just won't bring it up.
It's so infuriating. I hope to hell we get at least the House, but I don't know about the Senate. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. But that's what we need. I mean, it's one thing to impeach; it's another thing to convict, and we
right.
need the Senate to convict.
Right. It won't happen. I don't see impeachment happening. I really don't.
No, I really don't either. I mean, unless we really get a nice big fat, bump in the House where we feel confident enough to do it, but. Even then, I wonder, we've got people right now in Congress saying, we really shouldn't impeach. That's just a big, distraction. It's not a distraction.
Well,
He's the distraction.
The worry about it is that David handed me a note and he distracts me and I lose my train of thought. is that it would empower the right, the Trump supporters to get all organized and get them more hopped up to come out and vote. So it'd mm-hmm. make taking back the House more difficult if
right.
you talk about it too much now.
So you want to hear a news alert that just came in that's going to make you gag?
Okay.
Trump says North Korea, South Korea have his blessing to try ending decades long war.
Oh,
he
God.
Gave them his blessing.
Isn't that mighty magnanimous of him?
Oh my goodness! Oh
Unbelievable.
My God! All right, Ryan Teague Beckwith, who's very clever. He's a politics editor at Time at the DC bureau.
Okay.
He said he showed a screenshot of an IRS form. Of the IRS site.
Yes.
And it says, "Alert: the service is unavailable. We apologize." Because there's either a hack, which they don't suspect. It's a hack. They think it's a glitch. But it's, people are trying to file and they can't get in. All right. So he says, promise you'll pay less on tax day under this legislation. Fact check. Looks like you won't pay anything today.
Right. Well, yeah, there is a problem with the IRS website, the pay portal on the website is down. Now, again, remember what happened with healthcare.gov and how it was, you know, the Obama administration was incompetent, and that rollout of healthcare.gov was a disaster. But It's tax day, and the IRS website for paying your taxes is not working.
No. Nothing's working. Wait, real quick. Breaking news. Campaign records. Trump campaign paid Trump's bodyguards lawyers. Yeah.
Okay.
So Schiller, is that his name?
Schiller's
lawyers?
Keith Schiller.
They paid for it.
Oh, God. Again, there's so much here. I mean, you could go through a list and still not hit everything that should be front page news.
Right. Everything. It's unbelievable. Trump administration. Oh, I've got to read you this. This is Daniel Dale again.
Okay.
Trump administration official tells the Wall Street Journal that Trump likes Trudeau in part because he's good looking. And then the quote is, "You have to look the part and act the part for President Trump," one administration official said. "Trudeau and Macron are both good looking and have strong visions for their country. The president doesn't like lukewarm. He likes charisma and vitality and strength."
Oh, God. He likes them looking like they came out of central casting. So why did he hire John Bolton? I thought the mustache was going to rule him out.
They said there was a reason. I forgot what it was. I think it was he really was trying to get beyond some of the headlines, and he did that. He wasn't all that hot for him. That's what I read somewhere, if I'm remembering right.
No, he liked him. He just didn't like his mustache.
Or whatever. Yeah, that I remember, but... But this more recent headline said that he wasn't really going to do it, but then he wanted to make an impact of some kind because of all the other news. I can't even.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So these are yesterday's tweets. So you covered a lot of this, I'm sure, in your What's News, but I tried to get ones that had different takes than you would have reported on. Anita Kumar from McClatchy. Oh God, I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm so tired. I can barely read what I'm, see what I'm reading. Trump's U.S. businesses have received at least $15.1 million in revenue from political groups and federal agencies since 2015. And then political science, I'm going to say it all wrong. Jasmine Mujanovic said.
That sounds right.
Okay. You will not be able to write a history of this period in America without devoting at least half your text to the transparent and vulgar collapse in the rule of law. This is transparent corruption, kleptocracy, and it barely makes the news.
It's true.
It really is.
True.
I mean, the money that he has pulled in just by showing up at Mar-a-Lago, for example, just by
where he is again now, and he'll be for the remainder of the week.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's down here.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And then he drummed up the fee you have to pay to join, the membership fee, since he became president. So not only is he increasing the membership fee, he's increasing the membership. So he's making a whole lot of money and doing his gratuitous little hellos to everybody as they get married or whatever they do there and play golf. And profits out of that. So
yep. It's a violation of the emoluments clause, and which there are charges against him on, but who knows where that'll go.
Right. There are like four lawsuits, aren't there? Or at least two lawsuits that I know of.
Yep.
All right. So Alex Kaufman of Huffington Post said Scott Pruitt is conveniently out of town with no notice to reporters the day the GAO drops a report finding his $43,000 soundproof phone booth violated federal spending laws, which you did report on, right?
I did. But you know what? Yeah. There's more. There was another part of the story that dropped today, which is his car.
His car.
He had the standard, the car was an SUV, like a Chevy Tahoe or something. Well, he upgraded it to the larger Chevy Suburban with bulletproof seat covers.
That's what it was, yeah. Because, you know, when you get shot, they usually aim for the upholstery.
Right. And apparently,
and you're hiding under it.
His upgrades on the larger vehicle and the bulletproof seat covers added another $300 a month to the cost of lease.
Yeah, sure.
Unbelievable.
What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. All right. Daniel Dale, on a Florida speech that Trump gave on his sick addiction to praise, he said this event, he was live tweeting it, and he said this event is in what has become a standard recent Trump format. Trump speaks, then he gives the floor to business people and others who lavish him with praise for the tax cuts and other moves.
Yeah, he was in Miami in a town called Hialeah. That's a very Hispanic town. And he made a joke.
Oh, yes.
He said, are there any Hispanic people here? Or, of course not, or something like that. And right. Twitter went nuts. Well, the whole place was pretty much Hispanic, I think. But he doesn't understand that it's not his job to be an entertainer.
It's the only thing he can get approval for, though. He thinks that his audience loves it.
Oh, I know.
And he lives for approval. He lives for praise. So if he can make them laugh, it's worth that moment, that living in the present moment of acceptance and some kind of a closeness with the audience and approval. And then that moment is gone and everybody jumps and the headline become negative and he goes, fake news. So it's that cycle. It's that cycle of creating the mess, getting people to comment on the mess, and then criticizing the people who commented on the mess you created.
That's right. You're right.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Headline, Michael Cohen is in court over materials the FBI seized in a criminal investigation, which is what you were talking about. It's the big headline of yesterday. Given, and this is from LOL GOP, given Cohen and Trump's previous stance, wouldn't the proper course just to be let WikiLeaks release them all at an inconvenient time? I love him.
Touche.
I love him. I want to meet him. Erica Orden from the Wall Street Journal, she was live tweeting Michael Cohen's big day in court. And she said, Prosecutor Tom McKay, Mr. Cohen has asserted that he has more attorneys of his own than he has clients.
Well, that's true. How does he live if he only has three clients? And Sean Hannity says he's never paid him anything.
You know, that's he has three clients who apparently have never paid him, right?
Well,
he keeps saying nobody ever paid him.
Well, did he say Donald Trump and Broidy didn't pay him? I know he's, and Hannity's the one who said that he never paid him. I never heard Michael Cohen say that nobody paid him.
Well,
Michael Cohen said that
I got the money, you know, from my own account and I paid
Well, the
off
money
from...
for to pay off Stormy Daniels, but he never said that Trump didn't pay his legal fees. If that's the case, he'd be the only one because we know Trump notoriously doesn't pay his bills.
Exactly. And so I'm wondering, where does he get all this money to pay off all these women if he's getting so little income?
Good question. And to live in a hotel while his home is being renovated and to, you know.
Yeah, the renovation alone would be enormous. And then you live in a hotel on top of that and you've got giant bills. So where is all this money coming from?
Yeah, I don't know, but I have a feeling we're going to find out.
Yeah, I do too. It's going to be lovely. Anyway, so I don't have to read you the Nikki Haley, you know, Russia, you'll see Russian sanctions coming soon. But LOL GOP said Haley should have really run them by Putin first.
Ooh, again.
Boink, diddy, boink, diddy, boink. Yeah.
Oh, and,
and Joyce White Vance, yeah, law professor, added, Haley should resign after being treated this way. Increasingly, the one question that has to be answered about this administration is, why can't the president take real steps to hold Russia accountable for misconduct? What prevents him from acting?
There's got to be, Putin's got to have something on him. I mean, that's the only thing that I can figure.
It has to be that. It's either he has something on him or Trump has, you know, he owes him for with these real estate. He wants the real estate deals to continue. And if he gets him mad, then he'll be out a lot of money or something. I mean, there's got to be, he owes him for maybe loans. I mean, who knows? It could be something that simple or he has something on him.
Yeah. Because otherwise it makes no sense.
Zero. And, you know, a word about the PP tape. I may have said this before to you. You know, everybody keeps talking about it. It's been mentioned, of course, a lot because of James Comey and his new book. But I mean, come on, the PP tapes, if they were to be verified. So it's a one day story, really. Everyone's heard of them. We all know what would be on them. Everybody can go, aha, see, it's real. And that's great because that would mean that the
dossier.
Thank you. would be real too. It is real. I mean, I don't think there's much that hasn't come true.
Nothing's been disproven, but not everything has been proven about it.
Exactly. Right. But I'm not obsessed with that PP tape thing. It's to me, it's icing. You know, it's like if you know, sorry about that metaphor, but it's just not, it's not worth all the the comments that everybody keeps, you know, wait, just wait. Oh, I hope the pee-pee tapes come out. Oh, my God. Okay, it'll be a one-day story, maybe 2 days.
Right. Well, unless, like, you know, the video of it gets out and the video goes around.
Yeah. that's big. Also, yesterday there was a story out that I tweeted, which I don't have anything in front of me, so I'm going to have a really bad memory about it. But there was yet another woman who had an affair with Trump. This was while the wife was pregnant. Was it Ivana, who was pregnant with Tiffany?
No, Marla Maples.
Marla Maples. Okay, I think it was when Marla Maples was pregnant with Tiffany, and she had an affair, and she had sex with Trump in front of her friend. It was a pretty juicy story. I put it out. It got a lot of attention for a second, you know, and then it went away. But that happened.
You know, everybody knows that Trump is a slime dog. And apparently, I read somewhere today that he once told Howard Stern that he found pregnant women disgusting, I think was the word. So obviously so, because he seems to have a track record of fucking around on his wives when they're pregnant.
Right. It's just, he's so horrible. That's why I said, you know, unless there is actual tape, the pee-pee tape, it's pretty meaningless, because he's done so much crap that is so low and sleazy that the pee tape is just one more thing.
Yep. Yeah. So and I mean, they didn't even pee on him. He allegedly just watched them pee on the bed that the Obamas slept on, because he's so insecure, of course.
Yeah. And of course, he says, how could that happen? I'm a germaphobe. Well, if he's a germaphobe, then why is he having unprotected sex?
Good question. With all these women.
Yes.
That's pretty gross.
It doesn't make sense at all. Okay. So Daniel Dale. Wait, did I get resigned? Yeah. Okay. Daniel Dale again. He's so good. Perpetrator of a Quebec City mosque massacre was a Trump devotee, took a selfie wearing a MAGA hat, closely followed personalities from Breitbart and Fox News, court is told. And he was also part of the story said he was obsessed with Trump, Muslims, Dylann Roof, mass shootings, and feminists.
Ay, ay, ay.
But of course, blame the black guy. Blame the Muslim, right? For everything. Of course. Seth Abramson.
Okay.
He has 5 Comey interview takeaways. Now, I didn't get through the interview because I keep falling asleep at 9 now because of the dog. So we taped it. I turned it on last night. 15 minutes in, I'm asleep. So I haven't seen it, but I've seen the clips.
Yeah.
He has 5 Comey interview takeaways that may be of interest, and you can comment better than I can on this one. 1, McCabe told Comey of the Clinton emails ASAP. 2, pro-Trump FBI agent sat on the emails for 24 days. 3, email review would have ended on October 12th if not for those rogue agents. 4, Comey wrote Congress under duress from these agents. And 5, the IG, the Inspector General, knows all of this.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a big fan of James Comey. I know he's a man of integrity.
Right. That's about it.
That's about it. He made some really bad mistakes. And David and I had a conversation about this. I'm curious as to where you fall on it. Had Comey never gotten up before those microphones and talked about Hillary Clinton and the email investigations and done it not only once, but twice. Do you think the outcome would have been the same or different?
I think it would have been different, because I think the first time he came out and said, we're reopening, or it would never really close, you know, that's the law. It doesn't really close, but they're re-looking into it. That took over that was the same day, wasn't it?
The same day that WikiLeaks came out, and the same day that Access Hollywood came out, I believe.
Right. And so you had 2 things that took over the headlines. I think WikiLeaks and Access Hollywood could have had equal
actually,
time.
You know what? I'm wrong. I'm so wrong. That wasn't the day that Comey did the thing. That was the day that the news broke about that Russians were interfering in the elections, that they had
that's
proof.
Right.
That wasn't the
yes.
Comey day. So I, no, I want right. to correct myself.
Okay,
I'm wrong
so he
there.
Revived it.
Right.
And by reviving it, and you can look at the poll numbers, they coincide with a drop. So between all the things that were happening that you just said and then injecting life back into one of them, then I think it did make a difference. It might have been a small, just enough of a difference where she, I think she could have won.
Right.
Because so she was doing fine.
There was the first one that I think, you know, I think a lot of people maybe were on the fence or just thought, well, I'll hold my nose and vote for her, vote against him because he's Donald Trump, for God's sake. But then the second one, which was just, what, not even a week before the election, when with the whole thing with Anthony Weiner's computer, I think that completely put people over the top and they said, fuck this.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I agree with that. And then when he came back and said, kidding, you know, it was too late.
Yeah, the damage had been done. I really think so. David doesn't think he thinks she would have lost regardless. I don't think so. I put it on Comey. I really think he cost her the election.
I do too. I think there were other things involved. You know, not, he wasn't the thing that cost her the election.
It was the final straw, I think, for a lot of people.
I agree with that.
That they just said,
I just
can't trust the Clintons.
Yeah, I agree. Rebecca Ballhouse, Wall Street Journal. Sean Hannity's response to being named Michael Cohen's third client. We've been friends for a long time. I have sought legal advice from Michael. Well, you know, this doesn't hold water. Hannity is a total disaster. Can we just come out and say he blew this whole thing? Everything he said has been wrong. Everything Michael Cohen said or hasn't said has been wrong. Everything's wrong with this whole thing. I can't wait for this to blow up.
Yeah, well, and it's gonna. But here's the thing. Apparently, and more keeps coming out, Sean Hannity was the one demanding that his name not come out as the third client. In fact, he demanded that if the judge, you know, rules that they have to, that they immediately appeal it, which apparently the lawyer for Cohen did not do. He just blurted out the name, which made everyone in the courtroom gasp. And understandably so.
I have a tweet on that, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do.
But the thing is, as I was saying at the beginning, the whole reason that they needed to know the identity of the third client was so that when the taint team, as it were, goes through the stuff, they know what would be considered attorney-client privilege. Well, they can't know that if they don't know who the clients are.
Right. Right. They would look at something between the two of them and let it go through because they wouldn't know he was a client.
Exactly. So and if all it was were a few, you know, questions, innocuous questions, informal questions about real estate, then why would he need to invoke attorney-client privilege?
Exactly. And if he says he really wasn't his client, he was just asking as a friend, then he doesn't have privilege to begin with.
Exactly. So,
and if this was discussed in front of anybody else, he doesn't have privilege either. If there was a third person in the room, if they discuss anything, he loses the privilege.
That's right. So it has to be one-on-one. There has to be not necessarily consideration, but there has to be an agreement. And Hannity says there wasn't one. Well, then I guess you don't have any attorney-client privilege. So anything that they turn up in that search with your name on it is fair game.
Apparently, Sean Hannity just released some audio. I can't hear it. I have my sound off, obviously. But Hannity's talking again about it. So
well,
I guess we'll hear more about that later.
By the way, Fox News released a statement. Here's the Fox News statement. While Fox News was unaware of Sean Hannity's informal relationship with Michael Cohen and was surprised by the announcement in court yesterday, we have reviewed the matter and spoken to Sean, and he continues to have our full support.
Okay.
Barf.
All right. Cluster Fox. R. Schooley said on Hannity being the third client, I'm pretty sure now everyone protecting Trump is being blackmailed by somebody somewhere.
Probably.
Ryan Beckwith again from Time. He said, Hannity, quote, there's no limit at all into the fishing expedition that Mueller is now engaged in. And if he has access to everything that his personal attorney has, I can only imagine where that's going to lead. And that was April 9th.
Uh-oh.
Hannity Schmanity. Okay. Here's another one I have trouble pronouncing. Asawin
Subsang. Subsang.
Subsang. Daily Beast. That's easy to pronounce. Sean Hannity being a client of Michael Cohen's while also doing a bunch of segments on the raid, etc., without disclosing he's been a client of Cohen's, is honestly not even cracking the top three most professionally, journalistically problematic things Hannity has been doing since 2016.
Isn't that amazing? I was watching yesterday Ali Velshi, and he had a slip of the tongue, and he referred to Sean Hannity and the word journalist in the same sentence, and he's like, oh God, now I can't go on Twitter.
I love Ali. He's great.
He really is. He is very good. He's very good.
Stone Kettle, who's just a great wise ass. I love him. He said later in all caps tonight on Hannity, is Hillary Clinton a lesbian cannibal who murders children? Shocking new pizza footage shot from UFO. Mm. And then he tweeted another one. Cohen, Hannity was my mysterious third client. Hannity, I wasn't his client. If Hannity is right, one, there's no attorney-client privilege. Two, Cohen just lied to the judge.
Yeah. So this already is a clusterfuck. I mean, this is already there's something fishy going on here.
Yeah, something's really wacky here. It's too convoluted, and they don't know how to lie about it because of that. They keep tying their tongues up, and it's not good for them. Zach Ford, Think Progress, said the Sean Hannity radio show just started, and then he says in caps, "There's silence, dead air."
Well, this is from yesterday when all this news was breaking, right around the time he went on the air.
Exactly.
So interesting.
Igor Bobik of Huffington Post said, I'll get to an answer to this Michael Cohen development today. Hannity teases his radio show before launching into an extended MyPillow ad.
Okay.
He didn't know what to do. Hunter Walker from Yahoo said, here's the one I wanted to read you. There were audible gasps and one shout of holy shit when Hannity's name was revealed on the court. It should be in the courtroom. Uh-huh. I ran outside. I've emailed Hannity and he has yet to respond.
Yeah, well, I was watching Nicole Wallace, her show, and apparently, I guess they used to be friendly or something, because he tweeted or he texted her in the middle of her show responding to something she said, where he said, you know, I was not his client or something like that.
Really?
The man's skin is way too thin on this one. Something's going to break here.
What was really bad was nobody in the courtroom was allowed to use their cell phone.
Right.
So if you wanted to text, you had to run outside like this guy did. So,
right.
Ken Delanian of NBC said on Fox, Corey Lewandowski just criticized Comey for failing to protect Boston during the April 2013 marathon bombing. Comey became FBI director in September 2013.
And meanwhile, Corey Lewandowski apparently has been back hanging in the White House and talking to Trump. And he may surface again.
Yeah, he's never really stopped talking to him. But now it's getting more, they're not hiding it anymore. They're not doing it privately. Him and other people, too. He's not the only one. A lot of his old buddies are coming back in. So we'll see. That's where he's getting a lot of his fun little lines, I'm sure.
Great.
Matt Visor from the Boston Globe said, so Sean Hannity appears to be claiming he had attorney-client privileges with Michael Cohen, but that he never formally retained him or got an invoice for any legal fees. So it's the same thing we're talking about. I wonder who's harassing me on my phone now. Oh, this is so good. You know, I get these phony calls.
Uh-huh.
And they always give fake names. And this one said Dad Cell.
Oh, God.
My dad died how many years ago?
Okay. Right.
I just hope it wasn't my father-in-law. Uh-oh. I might have just hung up on him. Oh, well. Unrelated headline. Pruitt broke law by installing the secure phone booth. And LOL GOP said, right now, a single mom is headed to jail instead of work because of a broken tail light.
Well, that is true.
And that's where we are these days.
Yes. By the way, the one thing we didn't talk about was Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels were on The View today, and they released the sketch of allegedly the guy who threatened her.
That was my father-in-law. Okay.
Okay, well, we'll be done in a minute.
That's okay. I'll let it ring.
The picture looks like Jon Bon Jovi.
It does, doesn't it? He's like kind of a good-looking guy from the 70s. It looks very strange. Of course, it was years ago that this happened, but not in the 70s.
Your cat's screaming?
No, that's my phone. I have this, what do you call it, a ringtone?
Uh-huh.
And it's going, ring,
ring. That's annoying.
Ring! And it gets louder and louder. Ring! And it keeps getting louder. That's what you heard.
Okay. Well, that is annoying. And you know what? On that note, it's a good time to wrap it up because we're just about done anyway. Gotta laugh. Sleep deprived. Gotta laugh. Mom of a new pup. Go take care of that little puppy dog. And we'll talk to you next week.
He slept through the whole show like a good boy.
Aw. Good. All right. Thank you, Laffy. Find Gotta Laugh on the Twitter. Is that Gotta Laugh? And, of course, at Laffy's Place at NicoleSandler.com.
That's right. Thank you so much. And I forgot to tell you, I deleted my Facebook. Ta-da!
We'll talk about that next time.
Next time.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, our old pal Gaius Publius will be here to talk about Syria and a whole bunch more. And that does it for today. Thank you for bearing with us through the madness.